We have tickets to give away for the Smoketoberfest on Thursday. We'll give those away at some time during the show today, Jeremy and I. But right now, Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com joins us. Ken, good morning to you.
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Oh, your mic's not on. Hey, you there now?
His mic sounds nice. Check one.
You there now, Ken? There we go. Ken, I don't want to be the guy that talks about him all the time, but I don't want to be the guy that takes him for granted either. Lamar Jackson is beginning to make the spectacular look normal, if you understand what I mean by that. The things that are that used to be, oh my goodness, are like he does all the time now.
We're very spoiled already, and the things we expect out of him as a passer are going up now, but that's in progress. The things we expect him out of him as a runner,
yeah,
we already do take those for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the 15% commission on rushing yards for the rest of the team, we take that for granted. You know, it is amazing that.
Well, Ken, just looking at some of the other things too, and to the point where the Ravens almost always face the next Jaden Daniels,
yes,
or the next Lamar Jackson. Jaden Daniels just happened to be it this week. I even heard somebody say that. The quarterback at Alabama is a better version of Lamar throwing the football. And it's like, these guys haven't even got to the league yet, but people keep getting compared to them.
That's Jalen Milroe, is it?
Yes, Jalen Milroe. Let me get your thoughts on that, first off, the comparisons that they get. And what did you think of Jaden Daniels and just watching him on film?
So, Jaden Daniels looks the part. He looks like a spectacular young quarterback, but the Ravens do frequently face that. But they face the next to Lamar Jackson probably 3 to 4 times in Jackson's tenure here. It is a rarer, you know, archetype. But the guy they face all the time is the next Justin Tucker. There've been 25 in the league since he's been in the league, I'd say.
Well, they just did it the previous 2 weeks, whether it's Aubrey in Detroit, in Dallas, or if you want to go back and look at Cincinnati, and everybody was calling their kicker the next Justin Tucker.
Yeah, we have Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, we talk so much about offensive identity for the Baltimore Ravens, and I know you wrote about that. And I'm more willing to say what we saw on Sunday is more of what I think the Ravens' identity is.
It's the way it can be most valuable, because they're winning a lot of different ways. Whatever the Commanders gave them, they took.
That's what I'm talking about.
When they played man coverage, you know, Flowers beat them. They busted coverages. They beat them that way with the tight ends. They lightened up in the box, and Henry beat them. So they had multiple ways.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to bring up, I mean, we talked about Zay Flowers and the success, but it was nice to see Bateman getting involved as well. What did you think about the other receivers in yesterday or Sunday's game?
Yeah, very big deal. Bateman, you know, really needed some big games like that. He's quietly having a really good year, by the way. It's not a super high target year, but he's averaging 10.5 yards per target. Anything over 10 is fantastic, by the way. The Ravens have only had a handful of years, individual years in their history, that have reached 10. And the record for a single season is 11.04 by Andrews in his rookie year. So year over 10, you're doing fantastic. So he's played well. Obviously, people are making the most of their opportunities, I'll just say. Likely he's done well with the opportunities he's gotten. Andrews was good this week. And, you know, we also saw Kolar take advantage of his shots the last couple of weeks. So it's been whoever's been getting the football has been making a doing well with it, and that comes down to number 8 again.
Ken McCusick joining us from StudyBaltimore.com. Ken, you talked about number 8, but this team has a way of, I don't know the last time the Ravens have faced a hot team and not taking care of business against them. We saw it with the Lions last year. We saw it with the 49ers several times.
Yep.
Earlier this year, we saw it with the Bills. It just seems like every time they face, with the exception of maybe the Chiefs, it seems like every time they face that hot team, not only do they beat them, they dominate them.
Yeah, so last year they faced, the playoffs aside, when they
Rams a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they and the Seahawks was last year. Miami was last year. They destroyed the last year they were 5-0 against teams with all of them by 2 touchdowns when those teams were 3 or more games over 500. And they set the all-time record for most wins against winning teams in a season. So, yeah, they've beaten everybody except for the Chiefs that they need to.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, we were talking about defense and some of the changes you saw. Ardarius Washington, a little bit of him. What did you think of that swap?
You know, very big and kind of under the cover move, because I think they're trying to maybe hide it a little bit with some playing time still out there for Jackson. So Jackson has been a little bit of a disappointment at strong safety, playing a split field role. He's an ex-free safety. I thought, you know, a limited role, maybe he'd be good. But it was a dangerous signing. He's a guy who's an older player, had four straight years where he's had a total of 10 yards per target. We talked about how good that was for Bateman. Obviously, it's bad if you're a defensive back giving up 10 yards a target. So anyway, they've obviously been somewhat frustrated with his play. Ardarius Washington in the second half went in to be the strong safety in dime situations. Now, dime situations, six defensive backs, are the higher leverage passing situations. So you typically are doing that on third down, third and medium and long, you know, sub second and long and whatnot. But anyway, the point being that Jackson was left in big nickel situations, which tend to come up on first down. You have Kyle Hamilton covering a slot, often a tight end, but it could be a big slot receiver. It's the lesser set of responsibilities that he kept, and it gave Ardarius Washington the good set. Then Ardarius got to a football. He dropped it. That has been the Ravens' big problem this year on defense. If you're looking for a problem for the Ravens, they're not converting turnovers. They've got three interceptions, on 29 passes defensed. So that's an unbelievably bad ratio. Normally you get about one every five and a half, and they're at almost one every 10. And that's really what's holding this team back more than anything in terms of their defense.
Is that, I mean, guys that would normally you expect to convert those, or is it because of a change in personnel?
Team is full of playmakers. You know, Marcus Williams is a guy who's converted a lot in his career. Right. He hasn't been near the football this year. Roquan Smith converted one. He's certainly one of the guys. Hamilton has not had one yet. He's one of the guys. We had Wiggins drop two. He's one of the guys. You know, it's been a variety of players. Humphrey had one, and I think dropped two, or had him knocked loose. So it's been a tough year.
It's been a tough year. Now, you talked about the defense, and on the other side, I want to ask you something specifically. You've got some players who are quote unquote playmakers, but they don't look like the guys that we've come accustomed to seeing. I want to know why, based on what you say watching film. Ken McCusick sits with us up next, right here on the Fan. 8:15 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Florida taking care of the home front. Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com is joining us right now. Ken, and you pointed this out, we talked during the break. Kyle Hamilton, better recently than he was earlier in the year. Roquan Smith, haven't seen that from him. These guys weren't having career years. Is that scheme, or is that them?
I think maybe it's a little bit of both, but there are some scheme issues and there's some personnel issues. Let's start with Roquan. He's been asked to do more in terms of coverage probably than normal. And part of that is the fact that the coverage around him, the shell around him, is pretty good. Uh-huh. The exception is at safety directly behind him. And so where the Ravens have been attacked a lot is between level two and level three. If you look at PFF and some other services for targets, they'll usually charge those targets between level two and three to the linebacker and not to the safety. So you might get an inflated idea of how many times Roquan's been targeted. But it certainly hasn't been a good year from that. There has been some suggestion that he's carrying more weight. He definitely looks heavier this year, and that may be hurting him in coverage. I think he played the run very well 2 weeks ago against the Bills.
Is that by design, carrying more weight?
Probably. Okay. I mean, you know, normally if you're a football player, you carry as much weight as you can and still be athletic. So probably by design.
Well, let me ask you about the backfield. Goodfellas here. Henry Hill. Didn't see a lot of Hill this week. Your thoughts on that? And also, I don't know how much better Henry can get if, like, as the season goes on, are you worried at all about carries or anything that they need to spell him a little bit more?
Yeah, I think he's probably carrying the ball too much right now. I mean, hopefully Keaton Mitchell comes back at some point. At some point, injuries will occur, whether it's to Henry or Hill, and they'll have to give Ali some carries, or they'll have to give Mitchell some carries if he's back. But so far, RB3 has had zero total snaps played for the Ravens, in six games, which is incredible to me. But the Ravens are really doing it on the ground here. The big stat that I've been touting this week is they've had four games this year already where they had at least 175 yards and they gave up fewer than 75. And the team record for a single year is six such games. 73 Rams, who went 12-2, the 2001 Steelers, who went 13-3, and the 2019 Ravens, who went 14-2. So that is some great company. And I'm hope I think it's very likely the Ravens will get there, because anytime they win a game big, it's kind of a standard formula for them.
Ken McKusick joining us. Ken, I noticed this as well. Accountability is one of the things that I try as a coach. You know, what class you're in doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. If someone younger has something to say to you and it's correct, you take it. You don't look at that person and say, I've been around here for X amount of years. You take it. You saw the great culture with the Ravens when that took place with Kyle Van Noy and Simpson.
Yeah, so Kyle Van Noy got beat on a 24-yard pass by Eckler. He dropped from the line of scrimmage. He hasn't dropped too much this year, but he's got, you know, a couple thousand career snaps in coverage. And he was late getting over there, late diagnosing, looking in the backfield, whatever it was, brain fart, whatever it might have been. Anyway, ball went to Eckler, 24-yard gain, including 19 after the catch. He ran up to the tackle, and Simpson was immediately in his face about him. Of course, Simpson, a second-year player, 24 years old or whatever he is, and Van Noy's 34, and he's jawing at him real quickly, and Van Noy immediately put his hand on his shoulder and seemed to say, although it's just from his back, body language tells you everything, that he's accepting responsibility for that moment, and immediately Simpson shut up. And I'm thinking it was a great culture moment from two elements. First of all, Van Noy took responsibility immediately for it. Any kind of executive training you're in business, in sports, it's very prevalent. Tell you, the easiest thing to do is say, look, it's my fault. Yeah. We'll fix it next time. And I think that's what happened. I think, you know, Simpson knew exactly when to shut up too. So it was perfect.
Yeah. He didn't beat a dead horse. He just stopped. Mm-hmm. He's a guy accepted responsibility, leading us and say, okay, all right, well, what do you want me to say now?
Why are you mad about him? His energy. He was just trying to bring good energy. I don't know if you heard the Nick Sirianni stuff, yelling at fans, and he was like, yeah, I'm just trying to bring energy. Like, what are you talking about? What about the offensive line? Any good, any bad from here?
Oh, some real good in this game. Look, I'll give you the short form. They only had two penalties. They're both false starts, so that's fine. Didn't allow a whole lot of pressure in the game. Stanley had a B. He allowed two pressures and two-thirds of a quarterback hit, a third of a sack. Had nine blocks in level two, so seeing Stanley be mobile is really nice. McCary an A, his second straight top-shelf game. He's not giving up the left guard spot anytime soon, so that's good. Linderbaum had kind of a tough game, C-. The big deduction was for that bad snap that hit off his foot. Mm-hmm. I treated it the same as a sack because that's what it was. It was a drive-ending play like that. The big news, Daniel Fa'alele, an A and a perfect game in pass protection. Oh. No negative events as a pass blocker. He did have a couple pulls, which went bad and ended up in losses. But that's minor compared to a pass blocking success. So big game out of Daniel. Rosengarten, after two Bs, dropped to a D this week. He had a lot of trouble of basically latching on to his opponents in pass coverage. So blocking.
As you're watching Fa'alele, is it? Did you think this was more matchup, or do you see he's gradually getting better? Is it hard to recognize that over a couple weeks?
What's hard about Fa'alele is he's good at one thing every week, and it really jumps off the page. This week, he happened to be good at the most important thing, which is pass blocking. But the last, 3 weeks ago, he had a good game in level two, and a week after that, he was good at something else. And it's something different every week. But if he ever puts all those elements together, he now looks like he could be a really good lineman, and I hope it happens.
Ken McKusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, we ask you this every week, man. What did you see on film you picked up on the Ravens, you learned about this team moving forward?
Yeah, I really like the take what they've given component to it. So I go back to that.
I love it.
If I need to say one other thing about this, I really don't like the national media coming in and defining our regional rivalry because they say so many stupid things about it. The first is the Battle of the Beltway. We don't have one Beltway. We have one Beltway from hell over in D.C., and we have a Beltway that's perfectly okay here in Baltimore. It's the Battle of the Beltways. It's just all
I hate it also. I hate it also. It's not. I was on a TV station in D.C. They were asking me about it. I'm like, it's not a rivalry. Yeah. It's not. It's a fun game for two fans, but it's not. We don't look at the Commanders as, to me, a rival is someone who you consider a threat.
Right.
And I'm not dismissing the organization, three Super Bowl championships. I'm not dismissing them at all. But that's not a rivalry. You play them once every 4 years, and you never play them for anything significant.
Yeah. Does it benefit the Ravens in any way to have the Commanders be a good football team? That's my question for you two guys. Does it benefit them in any way?
I don't think it hurts him. A game like Sunday, you saw the ticket prices go up. Mm-hmm. I think now the fact that you have a Jaden Daniels, you work on the rest of that team. They need to figure out how to play defense here at some point. But they've got a shot within their division to make this run. And I think it sets up some healthy rivalries, even though you don't see them that often. But
Jeremy said it doesn't hurt. He's right about that. But it doesn't benefit either. I think it has no significance. What they do there has no significance to what we do here. It has none. It's zero significance. Do you? But it doesn't. We don't gain any advantages or disadvantages. It does nothing to us.
Okay. Well, I think there is some competition for fan base, and I hate to see that. And we see this happening with the Orioles, and obviously with revenue sharing, it's not the big deal. But with the Orioles and the Nationals, they literally have knocked out the DC team twice, and they keep coming back like a Bobo doll because Congress is threatening to do certain things. They put a team in DC again. It's just screw the Orioles market. I always feel like they're in about a 30 or 40 year death struggle with whoever they put there for this one market, and they are forced into a third rematch again to try and win this thing. I'm afraid the Orioles might lose it this time.
See, I think the Nationals took fans because they came to the market. I think the fan base is already established between the Ravens and the Commanders.
Okay.
I think those fan bases, if you're a Commanders fan, if your team loses when they were bad and insignificant for all those years, you weren't coming up here to watch our football games. You were just in misery watching the 16, then 17 games that you were watching. I don't think we win you. I think if the Ravens go through a stretch, I don't see anybody in Baltimore saying, well, let me go check out the Commanders. I just don't see that. I have a friend, Lavelle. He went to see a Commanders game, and it was like kind of a joke. He got tickets for like $5. The Ravens had a bye week. So he was like, well, I got the tickets. Let me go down there. He wasn't interested in the Commanders. It was just kind of funny that he could get tickets for so cheap, and he's a football freak. Mm-hmm. So why not go? I don't see anybody jumping ship either way. It's just too established.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I do think there are certain people that are like to be fans when it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll jump on the bandwagon when things start. Oh, there's a party going on there? They made it to the playoffs? I'm in. Who am I? What's this guy play? He's a tight end? What do they do? I think you get a lot of that. But with football, I think a lot of fandom's just kind of drawn in the line.
Yeah.
You like who you like.
You like who you because the season's so short. Not enough games this way. Baseball, you got a lot of games this way.
And let's be honest.
You don't have that in football.
We can sit here and beat up some teams for not winning a Super Bowl, but it's not like the Cowboys haven't had good seasons since then or any of these other teams that we're talking about. In baseball, it's tough being a fan of a bad baseball team because they're probably going to be bad for a long time.
Exactly. But you notice as soon as he went to not winning the Super Bowl, he went right to the Cowboys. You notice that? We're trained on this show to beat up Rashawn. Thank you very much, Kim McCusick. We'll see you again next Tuesday.
Okay.
That's 410-583-1057. Don't forget, next Wednesday. I'm sorry. We're giving away Smoketoberfest tickets a little later today. That's the event we're doing on the 17th. Over at the Humidor in Cockeysville, giving away one per. Mm-hmm. Today, giving away a pair tomorrow, giving away to pay Thursday. So come on out and check us out. So stay tuned for that. We're on the Stupid Up next with Jeremy Kahn. What's going on, Jake?
Oh, we're
going
to have some fun here. We're going to talk about, we've done this story before, a 26-year-old woman with two vaginas reveals that 99% of men don't even notice the condition. So we'll see. I'll ask Rob if he would notice.
I'm focused, man. Well, I see one, I'm good. What am I looking for two for?
How about this? Man abused by girlfriend lost over 60 pounds in 2 months as she controlled his diet. Would you ever let somebody do that for you? She wouldn't even let him use the toilet. And lastly, I don't know why I love this so much. There's one of the guys from Barstool, Ohio's Tate. So his name's Tate, and he's an Ohio State fan. He had a list of everything he would do if Ohio State lost a game to a particular team. So they lost to Oregon. It was eat 10 yellow marshmallow duck peeps for every point Oregon scored.
Ugh.
That's 370 peeps. We talk about it next here in the World of Stupid.
Ugh.
All right, we're going to talk about a UK man starting off. He's speaking out about his ex-girlfriend's abuse, including controlling his diet, biting him, and preventing him from using the toilet. After all was said and done, it caused him to lose 60 pounds. He got her sentenced to 20 months in prison after meeting online in July of 2021 and sparking a relationship. Everything was good And then things went awry as she kind of took over the relationship. She made him sleep on the floor with no covers if things weren't going her way as a punishment. Who gets into relationships like this where it's that one-sided?
I've seen
a lot of, and I don't want to, I hope it doesn't come across, like women that have been, that have fallen in love or been brainwashed by their man. Like, no matter what's going on, I can't leave him, can't leave him, can't leave him, whatever. Who gets in a relationship where they want someone to just browbeat them the entire day over everything? You're not good enough for this. You're not good enough for that. Like, there's one thing to try to help somebody lose weight, get in shape, feel better about themselves. But if you don't want to be with them, then just leave them.
Move on. Yeah.
Just crazy, crazy
insecure people.
All right, let's get to this story. We've done this before. 26-year-old woman. She has two vaginas. She revealed that 99% of men don't even notice her condition. The way that whole thing's set up, it's not like it's too... I mean, I don't know what I can say here now. Maybe I'll just read the article. I'm just going to say something else. And I'm like, I mean, she's got two, but they're in the same vicinity. It's not like two separate... One's over here, one's over there. They're
inside.
Yeah, I'm
glad you explained this to me. So you mean...
Like, there's a left and right once you go in.
Well, yeah, I mean, so, okay, go ahead.
Right?
I can understand why people don't notice then.
Joe, have you slept with anyone with two vaginas?
No. No.
Where's Ed at?
I think, though, that like most men, like they're not going to be paying attention to exactly what's going on down there.
When you go in, you go in.
There was a dude the other day, this video, this girl went up to this guy, like kind of like the Hawk Tua thing, and she was like, how does a woman use the bathroom when she's on her period? And the guy was like, you know, I've always wondered that. How does that work if she has a tampon and she can't go to the bathroom? And then I was like, you idiot. Do you know anatomy? It doesn't work that way.
These guys are so stupid. That's why I married a nurse. I found this stuff out about 12 years ago.
There you go.
A nurse in labor and delivery. I said something one time. My wife goes, is that what you think? And I went, maybe? No, what's right? I don't even remember what it was. It was so stupid. Probably don't want to admit to it on the air. But this 26-year-old girl discovered that she had two vaginas. She's got this this condition. I'm not even going to try it. She has two uteruses, two cervixes, two vaginas. And, of course, she's doing all... Like, the one girl in Australia was an escort. Another one was an OnlyFans star. One woman said she was married. And the one on the left was for her husband. And the one on the right was for work.
Oh.
Huh? Uh-huh. What are we doing here?
I have no idea.
All right. I'll get off of this this story here. Because I really want to concentrate on this. I think this is kind of cool. One of the Barstool guys, Tate, known as Ohio's Tate, he put a list together at the beginning of the season just to give you an idea of, like, early on.
That's cute. Ohio's Tate.
Yeah, you like that?
I like that.
So early on when they played certain teams, like Western Michigan, he said he would drive a white Ford Bronco from Maine to California. If they lost a Marshall, he would have gotten his pilot's license. If they would have lost a Sparty, he would have completed a Spartan death race. Iowa, shave my head and donate my hair to a children's hospital. Then it gets to the one where they lose. Eat 10 yellow marshmallow duck peeps for every point Oregon scores. Reason I bring this up is they scored 37 points. That's 370 peeps. And I don't know if anybody's ever sat down and tried to eat as many marshmallows as you can.
Yeah.
After a while, you start to get, like, you feel really sick, like you're going to vomit.
You do.
I don't
like
know.
You're going to vomit?
Well, I mean, sometimes some people just start dry heaving.
You just vomit.
I don't know how you're going to eat 370 of these. Or do you break it down in separate sittings? Do you have a time limit?
You ask, how do people get into those relationships? Why do people make these bets? Why? Seriously. What do you gain from that?
For them, it's specifically about driving content. Because they do this, all of Barstool, they did a thing recently where the one dude, they have him do the most over-the-top sports challenges. He had to make 12 threes in a row, and it took him like 12 and a half hours to do it.
How about when he threw his back out doing the golf thing?
Yeah, he had to get a hole-in-one on this golf simulator, and I think it literally took him over, it was like 22 straight hours.
You realize that it used to be, attention-seeking behavior used to be a bad thing.
Well,
you do realize that
now,
right? And now this is hey, why do you do it? It's because I want attention. That's what it comes down to. So, I do it because I want attention.
Listen to the other ones,
and
that
that's good
here.
Now.
And I'll run through it quickly. They lose to Nebraska, eat nothing but corn for one full week. They lose to Penn State. He stands in place for the Joe Paterno statue for 24 hours straight. Purdue, this is the one that got me. Get a Drew Brees birthmark tattoo. Does he have to get it on his face? What? Watch Hoosiers on repeat for 48 hours straight if they lose to Indiana. Like, all these things. But, again, going back, if you've never done any of these eating competitions or, like, things, been dared to do. I've told this story. My buddy dared me to eat a five-pound can of pineapples for $10. And I did it. I ate the whole thing. Miserable for 4 days straight. Nothing but liquid coming out of me. I mean, it was...
Pineapples?
The acidity from the pineapples burned off all my, like, I don't want to say burned off, but messed up all my taste buds. My tongue had, like, I mean, it was just, it was uncomfortable. It was real, you couldn't even eat anything else after that. So I've eaten blocks of wasabi. I mean, I've done stupid things on bets. Eating bets, I didn't care. It was like, okay, give it to me. I'll do that. But 370, even if it was just marshmallows, you just feel a certain kind of way. And then we've seen, I don't know if you guys have watched this. There's that one guy that he's like, how long would it take? Or he puts things in an aquarium, like a, you know, and he'll load it up with, the one time it was Monster Energy drinks, and he's eating it with a fork to see how long it takes him over time. So they speed the video up. And these things are just unbelievably stupid that someone's doing this, eating massive amounts of things that they said that would kill you, that I mean, it probably made him sick. I don't know. But this thing, 370. Joe, do you like Peeps, first off?
I loathe Peeps. I can't stand them.
I hate them.
I like them. I don't get why everybody hates them.
I hate them.
It's just sugar on the outside of marshmallow. The
only thing I hate more than those is candy corn.
I love candy corn.
I hate that.
But I understand why people don't like that. It has flavor.
The sugar.
Yeah, that's a good flavor.
This tastes like sugar.
It's one of those things forever. But I just couldn't imagine, like, just thinking about the worst things on here. That's got eating corn for an entire week. I mean, there's different ways to eat corn. You know, you can set it up to have certain types of meals to make it different. But I'm one of those guys, I don't like eating the same thing every day. My wife gets on me about leftovers. If it's something I really like, I'll eat leftovers once. You're not going to catch me eating it more than once.
Right.
After that. But
really? You eat leftovers just one time?
My wife treats food like it's fuel. She'll eat the same thing every night if she, like, made it. She's like, oh, yeah, it's time to eat. I can't do it. My taste buds want to dance. They want something different.
See, I don't like leftovers once. I'm not saying I wouldn't eat them. I just don't like them. I don't like leftovers at all.
Well, the thing that gets me is my wife will food prep.
Right.
And she'll create all this new food. Everything's smelling great. Then she'll put it all in the fridge and then eat what was left over from last week. And I'm like, you just made this. Why don't you eat it while it's hot?
Yeah.
It's better when it's first cooked. There's very few things that are better when they're reheated. Some things I think it
lasagna.
Works out.
Lasagna is the only thing that's good reheated.
I kind of agree with you. I don't know if it's the only
because
thing.
Because it settles more. For me, personally, for me, everything kind of, when it gets cold and you put it back in, it just, don't do it in the microwave, though. You got to do it in the oven.
But you got to realize,
it just settles.
Too, if you're going out to an Italian restaurant, I have to believe that all that lasagna is pre-made and then just reheated. All of it.
That's refrigerated?
Yeah. It's
you
not
think
like
so?
Absolutely. Like, how are you going to make that? Like, you're going to guess how many people are going to order lasagna in one day, so you're just going to make one. You're not going to make it as is for a single person. You get what I'm saying? What? Oh, he wants to get out of here. He doesn't want to talk.
We can't keep pushing the envelope to talk about lasagna.
But why not? It was a good conversation.
Yeah. Garfield eats it.
Nobody's turning to the station right now.
All right. Enough about lasagna. Enough about two vaginas, Peeps.
Jacob Calvert-Meyer will join us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, we're talking baseball playoffs up next on The Fan.
Crack to right center field. Pajes on the move to the track. He couldn't find it. That's because it's over the wall. Grand Slam Vientos.
Grand Slam Vientos as the Mets even up the series of the NLCS. Jeremy Connor, you find yourself not watching as much? Because I got a lot of people telling me they're not watching as much because of the disappointment.
I'm the wrong guy to ask that.
I'm watching.
I'm watching everything. You can bet on it, I'm watching it. And
I forgot about that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of people, too, that just don't like some of the more low-scoring games we get, and you get a lot of that in the postseason. Like, all the totals for these games are 7, 7.5. Dodgers game got to 8 last night. If not for a goofy inning, it's probably another low scoring game, right? You're seeing big innings, bullpens that are failing. And it's just weird. Like Cleveland at the beginning of the year, we're like, man, they have too much starting pitching. Now they have none. Now, all of their guys got hurt. everybody they were relying on except for Tanner Bibee. And they traded for Alex Cobb of all people. And like, you know, it's just, it's kind of a who's who of nobody. They've got one of the best, they've got the best bullpen in baseball. But I don't know that Cleveland draws the way that some of these other teams do. I think people want to tune in for the Yankees, whether you like them or hate them.
Yep.
And that's why I always say this, like, as much as that's why I brought up the topic of, do you want to see the Yankees move on? Because it gives you somebody to root against in the next round. So I guess in essence, would you want them to win? But I want them eventually lose, but I like rooting against them.
Do you want them to lose like when it really hurts them?
Like, well, I guess when you're, if you like, what would hurt the most for the Yankees? I think losing to the Mets would hurt the most.
So you want, that's what I mean. You want,
and then they go sign Juan Soto in the offseason to kick you in the pills a little bit more. Because I've already stated, I think Juan Soto's a New York Met next year, no matter what happens this year.
You think so?
Yep. I think they're going to go spend some money on him. And maybe Pete Alonso walks. Maybe they re-sign him, depending on, I got the hiccups, depending on how the season goes. But
Donville's the worst. Hiccups.
Because you can't, you don't know like, when it's coming, you know? So
Joe had me thinking once that I was going to have a heart attack. Because after I had COVID, I had hiccups. He said, well, one of the things they were afraid of was hiccups is a precursor to the heart attack.
That was one of the most classic hiccups I've ever heard. Like, well, sounds.
So, what are you going to do?
Like, he had me scared, man. I was, every time I had the hiccups, I'm like, oh my gosh, should I get my doctor on speed now?
Well, did you ever hear the story about the people that have had hiccups for like their entire lives?
That's a major fear of mine. It's completely irrational, but when I get the hiccups, I get afraid that I'm going to have them for like decades.
There's the guy that people have had hiccups, people that can't stop burping. Like I couldn't imagine going through. What about sneezing? Somebody that just can't stop sneezing. Like what the hell? The hell are you supposed to do? Anyway, but
you know what? You know what? This is the most random show in the history of shows, man.
It's fine.
We just like completely just
we were talking about lasagna cycle. Hiccups. Yeah.
He just completely did a spin cycle, man.
Squirrel.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Somewhere right now, Chuck's hair is on fire.
Put it out.
Somewhere his hair is on fire.
Well, just getting back to the baseball playoffs, are like you're talking to people that aren't enjoying them just because they're
not watching them at all. Well, my team's not in it.
I heard people complain about the 1 o'clock game 5 game we had.
That's just dumb. Forever we complained that baseball was too late. Now it's on at 1 o'clock. You complain about that.
But that's the cool reason they did that, they moved. It was the only game on the schedule, so right, everybody expects it to be in prime time. But there was bad weather coming in, and they didn't want to mess the playoffs up. So they moved it up, which to me makes perfect sense.
Not only does it make sense, it's fun. You want daytime baseball, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's simple. I mean, who doesn't want daytime baseball?
But I think you're a lot like me. Like, I love a 1-0 baseball game.
I do.
I don't care what people like. Baseball is the one sport. It doesn't matter if it's 11-10, 1-0. Like, I can enjoy it. Basketball, man, you're like, somebody make a damn basket. This is terrible. Football, it's like, make a play for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with baseball, it's just different.
Because baseball, is every play is competitive.
Mm-hmm.
A pitch. Every play is competitive.
And you know what I love about playoff baseball is that we. Managers get criticized during the regular season.
But not like the playoffs.
Buddy, man, they pull out a pitcher bringing it. How about the cat you bring in last night? Cantillo throws a couple of wild pitches that give up runs right off the bat. You're like, man, this guy, how do you get it back? Landon Knack comes in for the Dodgers. They're like, are these my gas cans? Oh, let me light this bitch on fire. That's what he did. And so the Mets, Vientos gets that grand slam off of him, and they pile on 5 runs in that inning, and that's all they needed.
Let's go out to Rosedale and get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Does all the Orioles coaching changes mean Blaine and Hyde will be on the hot seat next season? And you guys have a wonderful Taco Tuesday.
You too.
I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know what management thinks here. I don't know that you got a new owner coming in. Does he want to bring in his own manager? Does he fully trust the front office? I'm not saying any of these things. I haven't heard anything to say otherwise, but I'm just saying, like, you don't know what the reaction is going to be. Firing a guy that where we had no expectations, and then you make the playoffs and miss and lose, then you have expectations the next year, and it doesn't pan out the way you want, but you still make the playoffs and lose.
I think the only way Brandon Hyde is on the hot seat is coming off of 2 early exits in the postseason if they have a slow start. I don't think he enters the season on the hot seat. I think he has to put himself on the hot seat.
I don't either, but there's so much talk from people that it gets you like, okay, yeah. Is this going on? I mean, it's like you would talk about. We would hear things from people would start fans, and all of a sudden you're looking on social media, it's like, is that really going on? And Rob would come in and is like, that's not happening. And like, he, to be fair, he would tell us if it was.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, you don't have to go on the air and say it, but there's a trust factor between us.
I've told you some things. No, that's not happening.
Yeah. I can't believe that one dude wears women's panties during the games. But, you know what? We're not going to talk about him.
Daily Line with Jeremy Cohn at 9:15. But on the other side, Jacob Calvin Meyer joins
us. Maybe Jacob will tell us who
it was. Talk some Orioles baseball and playoff baseball on the Fan.